The letter to Senator Daschle that set off alarm bells on Capitol Hill was real, but many hoaxes are cropping up across the country. Law enforcement agencies have been inundated with reports of suspicious packages and mail. At a press conference today, Attorney General John Ashcroft denounced the recent spate of phony bioterrorist attacks as a grotesque transgression of public trust. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
In addition to the confirmed cases of exposure to anthrax spores at news organizations and at the office of Senator Tom Daschle, the FBI says they've heard of more than 2,300 incidents involving dangerous biological and chemical agents. Most were false alarms. Today, Attorney General John Ashcroft warned that bioterrorism is not a joking matter.
Terrorism hoaxes are not victimless crimes, but are the destructive acts of cowards. The Department of Justice will prosecute and punish with the full force of our laws those who issue false anthrax threats or any other form of terrorist threat.
He pointed out that hoaxes are highly disruptive and costly, but they're not new. Psychiatrist Gerald Post says there are always people who identify with the terrorist and the attention they get.
Whether it is those resentful of the United States, who see something heroic in the bravery of someone willing to carry out this act, or it is some impressionable adolescence. We've had a number of reports of teenagers with bombs, just as they were in the wake of Columbine.
Post, who worked as a psychological profiler for the Central Intelligence Agency for 21 years, says the often emotionally unstable person who makes a threat is in a sense also a terrorist.
What I see in that kind of act is a minor version of the psychology of terrorism, which is, after all, an act of the powerless striking out at the powerful. And it is the powerless individual who, by the capacity to frighten a large number of people, can get at least a transient sense of power and significance.
And it's happened before with biological weapons.
One might think of the anthrax hoax in Washington several years ago, which ended up both calling attention to the cause and paralyzing the city.
In mid-April 1997, a package was mailed to the headquarters of B'nai B'rith with an anthrax label on it. A decontamination team was called out, people in the office were stripped down in the streets and hosed off. Since then, there has been an upsurge in anthrax hoaxes, according to Amy Smithson of the Henry Stimson Center here in Washington. In the first half of 1999, she says, there were 119 anthrax threats, almost equal the number reported by the FBI the previous 2 years.
What happened in the United States was there was a lot of talk about anthrax, and so there were a series of anthrax hoaxes. In fact, the majority of what has happened in this country constitutes a hoax. What's happened in the past couple of weeks is a definite change from that.
Though it is too early to draw conclusions, Smithson says the difference is most people capable of using a biological weapon, unlike those engaging in hoaxes, have certain technical skills.
If I had to stretch, and I do mean stretch, and try to characterize this, I would call it kind of like a biological Unabomber type of activity. The Unabomber was a pretty whacked out individual who sent things through the mail and ended up killing 3 people and injuring 29. So again, this is a situation not intended to inflict massive casualties of the type that were seen on September 11th.
Both Post and Smithson say hoaxers and terrorists are drawn to the use of chemical and biological agents because they attract so much attention. For that reason, Gerald Post says it is important for the media to understand that it isn't just a bystander of terrorist attacks.
It is their conduit of the message of terror and fear that they hope to spread. So the media has a major responsibility for the manner in which it reports the news. The more sensationally, the less critically, the more it is conveying the message of the terrorist, the more likely it is to spawn the fruits of imitative violence.
The painful dilemma is that there is a frightened public hanging on to the media's every word, seeking reassurance that the threat is being contained and that the government is vigilant in protecting it. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Washington.